Upon escaping X's house, I arrived at my friend's home and was rushed into bed. Four of my friends scrambled to hold me and started tending to my facial wounds, providing me with antiseptic, adhesive bandages, and pillows. They asked me what had happened and told me that it was okay to cry. I knew this to be true, but the tears would not fall. I was in shock and robotically recounted the story, slowly recalling the dark alleyway, his sharp nails, and the sound of his sobbing. They listened in horror and shook their heads in rage and disgust. They consoled me, expressed their fury, held me until I fell asleep, and showed me a kindness and nurturance I could not verbally ask for. Each friend tenderly held my hands and feet and caressed me until I fell into a deep slumber. I dreamed of nothing that night. The day after, we went dancing. Going to a party was my idea, and I pursued it with great urgency. I could tell that my friends were concerned, and they encouraged me to rest and ask if I was sure I wanted to be around a large crowd. I nodded desperately and searched for parties we could attend. I slapped a ton of concealer over my facial wounds and used adhesive bandages to hide the deep cuts on my face. The blood had barely dried. I wanted to be around as many people as possible to forget about my own fragile personhood. I said, "Don't let what happened to me stop us from having fun. I don't want to ruin our weekend." I felt like a bruised burden, and in my refusal to become a victim, I neglected the tenderness of being a survivor. I wished to be surrounded by warm bodies so I could forget the freezing emptiness that rattled my own. I wanted to move my body because stillness was my sworn enemy. Stillness felt like an opportunity for my demons to swarm. I wanted to laugh to believe in the hollow timbre of my voice, and more than anything, I needed to stop myself from thinking about him. I shrunk myself because I thought that my pain did not deserve any expansiveness. I had no idea that my pain deserved to take up space too. I do not remember much from the party, except for the countless comments I got about the band-aids on my face. We were at a bar that had a huge outdoor patio, and folks were approaching me in good spirits and calling the band-aids a cute accessory. Whenever anybody asked questions, I would divert their attention elsewhere, or I would lie and quip about a friend's pet who had scratched me while we were playing together. I lied to people around me because I could not face a hard truth. A vivid memory. A club remix of Foolish by Ashanti began blaring through the speakers. The song's buoyant beat could not hide Ashanti's lyrical yearnings. She was singing about a tumultuous and harmful relationship that she could not leave. Her words sent me into a panic, and I became dizzy and nauseated. A swelling self-destructive impulse bubbled up toward my throat. I recognized this itch. It was an anxious desire to call X and cry into his arms. I wanted to gasp for an explanation and plead for him to tend to the wounds that he had caused. I had to leave the party. One of my friends followed me outside and asked me if I was all right, and I told her that I needed space. She sat me down on the cold concrete sidewalk, and after a few deep breaths, I began to calm down. I had snuck a drink out of the bar and downed it. My nausea and dizziness faded along with my panic. Again, I felt nothing, and though it was brittle and jarring, I wanted it to stay that way. For moments, it felt blissful, as if I could play God and conjure a buffer between my feelings and my body. I reveled in these blank moments and thought about how I could prolong this temporary bliss. Subconsciously, I knew that my shock was wearing off, and my emotions were emerging in unpredictable, jagged spikes, prompted by sounds, sensations, temperatures, and memories. I wanted to be numb forever. After that day, I tried to drag the numbness out. I partied obsessively, pursued the fleeting highs of retail therapy, and pushed myself into working on multiple projects at once, even though I could not focus on any of them. I pursued intimate relationships with anybody who showed me desire, to prove to myself that I was still lovable in my brokenness. I committed to returning to normalcy, and so I engaged in a performance of reclaiming myself.